Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. Somewhere there has to be the truth and nothing but the truth, which comes from God to help all of us get out of the religious confusion that has the Christianity of this world absolutely in its grips, Catholics and Protestants. And so in examining the book by Bill O'Reilly, Killing Jesus, we have seen some of the minor differences and minor errors that he has made. Today, we are going to cover the major ones, which completely, as a historical document, discredits what he has written to a very high degree. It's like anything else. If you tell part of the truth, you don't get the whole story. If you don't understand the truth, then you can't relate it. If you don't really research thoroughly enough to discover the truth, then whatever you believe will be distorted. Now, Mr. O'Reilly wanted to present the life of Jesus from a historical point of view, which is fine. However, as we've pointed out, the four Gospels are historical accounts and eyewitnesses of what Jesus taught, what he did, and the things that God wanted us to know about him. And there are also some very important historical things that can give us the flow of when Jesus was born, etc. So we have all of that in the book, The Harmony of the Gospels, The Life of Jesus Christ. And it documents through all coordinating all of the four Gospels concerning Jesus' life, his birth, his death, his mission, his teachings. Now, the number one glaring error, which Mr. O'Reilly may have thought was a theological explanation or a theological thing that he didn't want to include in his historical account, and that is Satan the devil. Completely no account concerning Satan the devil as the author of evil. And that is a historical account documented in the Bible. Because history, going back to the way God views it and projects it and has it preserved in the Bible, Satan rebelled and Satan fell. And one of the first things that Jesus did after he was baptized, he had to go into the wilderness to be tempted of Satan the devil 40 days and 40 nights. That is completely missing in Mr. O'Reilly's account. Jesus did not keep a supper separate or ahead of the Passover. He kept the Passover, and we will show that to you. Jesus Christ was not crucified on a Friday and rose on a Sunday. He was crucified on a Wednesday and rose just before the end of the weekly Sabbath. Next, he did not use the calculated Hebrew calendar to show the Passover day. And in the book that we have, The Day Jesus the Christ Died, we have everything concerning the details and the timing, as we will show you on some charts. And you can download all these charts right online, right here at Church at Home, so you can look at them and you compare them. Now, we cover all the facts concerning the day Jesus the Christ died, which was originally written in 2004 in response to Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion of the Christ. And he gave about half of the story. Now, what we're going to do as we are going to look at some specific charts. Using the calculated Hebrew calendar, and in 30 AD, and Mr. O'Reilly had it correct, 30 AD, but Jesus was only 33 and a half. We will see that on a chart that'll be available to you, verified by 8 significant chronological and calendrical comparisons to verify that it was in 30 AD. Now, in 30 AD, and you can go online to cbcg.org, you can use our calculated Hebrew calendar program. You can punch in 30 AD, the year that Jesus died, and it will show you the Passover day was on a Wednesday. That's why in 1 Corinthians 5:7, Jesus is called our Passover, who was crucified for us. He died on the Passover day. He did not die on the 15th. Another error that is very significant. In the week that Jesus Christ died, there were two Sabbaths. The first one is the 15th day of the first month, the day after the Passover, and that's the first day of unleavened bread. The second one was the weekly Sabbath on the seventh day called Saturday today. That was not shown. These are historical facts completely overlooked and completely missed by Mr. O'Reilly in presenting his case, killing Jesus. While he did show a lot of graphical things and gruesome details, if you miss the actual timing of it and you have the wrong days, if you were a historical teacher, as Bill O'Reilly was, would you pass your student for trying or flunk them for missing the true facts? I'll let you be the judge. Now we are going to show some charts that are in the Harmony of the Gospels, some of them also in the Passover book, and in the day Jesus the Christ died, because the death of Jesus Christ is the focal point of all human history, past, present, and future. Then coupled with his resurrection, that is how salvation is brought to mankind. Now, before we go to the charts, I just want to read something here. In Matthew, the 12th chapter, they said, verse 38, "Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we desire to see a sign from you. And he answered and said to them, A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, but no sign shall be given to it except the sign of Jonah the prophet. For just as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, in like manner the Son of Man shall be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights." We will show you the days leading up to that Passover on the calculated Hebrew calendar coordinated with the Julian calendar. And you will see that the day Jesus the Christ died was on the Passover day, and that in the evening before, he ate the Passover with his disciples and instituted the new Christian Passover, which is all explained in the book, the Christian Passover. Now, some of these things may come as a real surprise to a lot of people, but these are the true historical facts that Mr. Bill O'Reilly completely overlooked in his book, Killing Jesus. Now, first of all, I want to show you this whole chart 6 days before Jesus' last Passover. You'll notice going right across the top, those are the days of the calculated Hebrew calendar, the month of Nisan. And below, right at the bottom, are all the Roman days showing the months of March and April. Actually, the last part of March and the first part of April. You will see that every day is divided between sunset and sunrise, as all days, according to the calculated Hebrew calendar, are reckoned from sunset to sunset. And that's what they use during the days of Jesus, and every day begins at sunset. Now then, it starts out with 6 days before the Passover, as noted in John 12. Jesus comes to Bethany and has a supper where he is anointed for his death. Then in the morning, he makes his way into Jerusalem, goes to the temple, and then back to Bethany just before sunset. All right, the sixth day of the week right here, which then is the fifth day before the Passover, is listed right there. Mark 11, 12 through 17, in the morning Jesus and disciples come to Jerusalem, curses the fig tree, etc. Day 4, before the Passover, which is right here, and he comes back to the temple, the fig tree is dried up, and then he has some of his various confrontations with the Jewish religious authorities. Nisan 10 is the day that Jesus was selected as the Lamb with a voice from heaven, as recorded in John, the 12th chapter. Nisan 11, which is the first day of the week. Then there are many confrontations. After that, Jesus left. He did not go back to the temple on the second day of the week, Nisan 12. He did not go back the third day of the week. The disciples prepare the Passover on this portion right here, just before sunset. Then on the Passover day, right here, Jesus had a Passover with his 12 disciples, and Judas Iscariot was there for a time being and then left to betray him at the time that Jesus determined by giving him a sop, and he went and betrayed him. Now we will look in detail at the other days. Nisan 15, that's the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Jesus was put into the tomb right there at sunset. And so we have the 3 days, day 1, day 2, day 3. Now we have another chart that expands that out and shows the 3 days and 3 nights in the tomb. Now I want to show you two charts which show the 12 hours of the night, the 12 hours of the day, of the Passover day. And what it is a detailed hour-by-hour account of all the events that happened to Jesus, going to Pilate, going to Herod, being beaten, being crucified, etc. And where he was put into the tomb right here as the Passover day ended. Now remember, the Passover day was the 14th of Nisan. The 15th of Nisan was the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now, let's look at the chart showing the 3 days and 3 nights in the tomb and his resurrection. Now, here is the Passover day. The Passover day, the day portion of the Passover, is the preparation day for the Feast of Unleavened Bread, right there. Okay? Now, day start at sunset. At sunset, right there, Jesus put in the tomb. First night, second night, third night. First day, second day, third day, resurrection. 3 days and 3 nights. Anyone who believes that Jesus was in the tomb from Friday night and resurrected Sunday morning believes a lie. It never happened. This is the true historical account of how long Jesus was in the tomb, the only sign that he gave that he was the Messiah. So there you have it. 15th, 16th, 17th. 1, 2, 3. 3 days and 3 nights. So we have Wednesday, 5th of April, Thursday, the 6th of April, Friday, the 7th of April, and that's the day that Bill O'Reilly chose, as all Christendom believes, a Friday crucifixion and a Sunday resurrection, which does not have any credence in the Bible. Now let's cover one other thing. The day portion of the Passover was a preparation day for the first holy day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Then Friday is the preparation day for the weekly Sabbath, right there. Then, on Sunday, we find that Jesus, on the first day of the week, appeared to the women, but he was already resurrected. He was not there when they first came to the tomb. Then later, he appeared to the disciples later, before evening. Now, there's one last chart I want to show you. The year that Jesus was born, 5 BC, and that's in the fall of the year, and it was on the Feast of Trumpets. One thing to remember, God does things on all his holy days, and that gives us understanding of the plan of God. Now then, it goes on down. You'll notice right here, there is no year zero. Look at some of those columns of the other calendrical verifications of the year of Jesus' birth and his life. So there's no year zero, and it comes right down to 30 AD, okay, right there, and he's 33 and a half. He was born in the fall, crucified in the spring. Now, if you want more details concerning this, you can also write for the book The Appointed Times of Jesus the Messiah. I hope that this was helpful to you in understanding the truth of the 3 days and three nights in the grave, the day that Jesus was crucified on the Passover day, the fact that you have to figure the timing by the calculated Hebrew calendar, days reckoned from sunset to sunset, and then adjusted to the Roman calendar, not the other way around. There are some people who believe that Jesus was crucified in 33 AD because the Passover in that year fell on a Friday, but that would not work. That may be some of the confusion that Mr. O'Reilly had, because that would then make Jesus 36 years old. So this is what happens. When men come along and do not understand the truth, do not get all the historical facts, have a religious axe to grind, which Bill O'Reilly did not have, but he did follow along with the religious act and the myth and fable of a Friday crucifixion and a Sunday resurrection. Now, we have got right online 3 segments, should a Christian observe Easter? And Easter is not in the Bible. Never was. We're living in an age when there are so many fables and lies and half-truths and so forth that we need to go directly to the Bible to understand the Word of God. Now, something else that Bill O'Reilly missed, having to do with the body of Jesus. They wrap the body tightly in linen, making sure that it is loose around Jesus' face. If he would have read the account in the Bible, there was a special napkin placed on the face. They wrapped it. That is true. But later, he says that when Mary Magdalene looked inside the tomb, She clearly sees the linen shroud in which the body was wrapped. That is a contradiction. The shroud is a Catholic relic. How the shroud was made? Since the Catholics believe in idolatry and worshiping and bowing down to the shroud is a relic of Jesus, that is blatantly against the teachings of the Bible. Now, if someone thinks that this is hard, I will ask Bill O'Reilly a question, which is this. Please answer me. Why in all the catechisms that they declare the third commandment talks about remember the Sabbath to keep it holy, and then the ninth and tenth commandment is split in two. However, when you come even to the Catholic Bibles and you come to Exodus 20, and let me read that. They have removed the second commandment. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourselves any graven image of any likeness of anything that is in the heavens above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters under the earth. You shall not bow yourself down to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. That is the full second commandment removed, so that the Roman Catholics, and yes, even the Protestants, can have idols that they will worship. And idolatry and teaching idolatry is one of the greatest sins in the Bible. And to change the words of God, and this is not theology, this is historical writings from Moses that Jesus told the children of Israel. Why is that perpetuated by Christendom today, especially the Roman Catholic Church? You look at every cathedral, you look at the Vatican, you look at every part of it inside of it. And especially if you view what Pope Francis I did on Easter Day, he prostrated himself flat on the floor in worship and adoration of the main sanctuary in St. Peter, on top of which is a sundial, and the columns that go up are serpentine, designating that's not from God. And yet, all popes pretend to be the vicars or the replacement of Christ on the earth. That needs further investigation as to why people would so blatantly do that and follow it and believe it and reject the words of God. So it is true. The main part that Mr. O'Reilly left out concerning Satan the devil, he is the one who deceives the whole world. Yes, he will allow people to put forth some truth, but all the truth is contained in the Word of God. That's why we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today, and that's why we are scripturalists, because those are the words of God, our Creator, our Maker, and Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Master, and our Savior. And they are truth. And these words are righteous. And these words cut and convict against men and women for their sins against God. And that's the whole historical outline of the history of man cut off from God. So the truth about Jesus Christ, His life, His death, and His resurrection, as Mr. O'Reilly said, has had the most impact on human history. But it needs to be the true history of Jesus, the true history of His disciples, the true history of His death and burial and resurrection to be our Savior. So once again, thank you for inviting me to be in your home. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.